Not until the 1st of January do we know the full effect. Actually, the implementation, the effect will come thereafter, but of this Safety Act. But folks are paying a lot of attention to what it does and doesn't do, in part because you're getting a lot of campaign information about it. State Senator John Curran joins us now, the Republican from Downers Grove. Senator, thanks for saying hi. How are you today?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on.
How did you vote on this issue?
I voted no on the bill, John.
Why did you vote against it?
John, when this first started, I had some conversations with the advocates, and they were talking about moving away from cash bail to the New Jersey model, which gives judges broad discretion on any felony and a whole host of misdemeanors to detain someone based upon actual risk factors and background and the crime charged. So that was something I am and was very open to, but that's not ultimately what was produced in this with the Safety Act. The Safety Act is very narrow. It does not give judges discretion. It is nothing like the New Jersey law, and it is something that, while I think it's admirable to move away from cash bail because that is an imperfect system and there's a lot of inequity in that system,
right,
based upon someone's ability to pay, you have to replace that with something that is going to maintain public safety. I don't believe the Safety Act does that.
I want to read you a fact check on our website from one of our sister stations in Peoria, WMBD-TV. They're part of the News Nation Network, so they would be our sister TV station down there. And let me just share with you what people are reading. The claim: anyone charged with a non-detainable offense will be immediately released after arrest. See the graphic below, which is making the rounds on social media. And then you know the one I'm talking about. Illinois' non-detainable offenses beginning January 1st, aggravated battery, DUI, etc. And then here's their fact check on it. The Safety Act does not create non-detainable offenses. Illinois law has no such thing. Certain crimes, forcible felonies, stalking, domestic abuse, guarantee the revocation of a pretrial release, meaning they will not be released after arrest. This is outlined in the Act Section 110-6.1.A. While it is true that none of these crimes listed above automatically revoke pretrial release, that does not mean perpetrators are guaranteed to be let out of jail free. A judge may revoke pretrial release from any perpetrator who poses a specific real or present threat to any person or the community. So this is a non-true claim. How do you read that?
Well, John, I would say I don't agree fully with your fact check. And I actually was listening and I read that ahead of time. So there are no non-detainable felony offenses in the Safety Act, because any felony charge, forcible felony, above class four or some other delineated felonies, can be detained if they're shown to be a willful flight risk. But this is where practicality comes in, and the changes in the standards on willful flight risk is so heightened that it is unlikely, it's going to be rare that that's actually invoked and used.
So then are you saying then that people who have committed burglary, drug-induced homicide, intimidation, kidnapping, second-degree murder, they're going to be released? They're going to get arrested, go before a judge, and he's going to automatically release them until their trial? That'll happen every time automatically? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it happened automatically on the first charge. If they subsequently reoffend while they're on pretrial release, they would then be eligible to be detained.
Well,
but
that's,
John,
no consolation to me. I'm not sure that somebody who is charged with aggravated battery, this is an interesting question, is it? You're charged with aggravated battery. I think in our minds we're all assuming the guy did it. But if you're charged with aggravated battery and you go before a judge, the question is, should that person be detained until their trial or not?
So the judge would only be able to consider detaining that person if the prosecutor has evidence, clear and convincing evidence, that that individual is planning or attempting to intentionally evade prosecution by concealing oneself. You would have to have evidence that they've bought a plane ticket, that they have this plan to escape the jurisdiction, to flee.
I don't know how you're going to prove that, but it also
But if I could, so the important point here is under 110-6.1A1, these are probationable, forcible felonies. The act clearly states that, that the judge can only detain someone under that section for a forcible felony for which a sentence of imprisonment without probation or periodic imprisonment or conditional discharge is required upon conviction. So it's only the forcible felonies where upon conviction the judge has no option but to sentence that person to jail. Can they consider detaining that person pretrial if they pose a specific risk to a specific person or the community at large?
Okay, but doesn't
so those forcible felonies, the judge cannot consider that standard. So the public safety standard is not available to the judge on those felonies that you read off.
They're telling me otherwise. I mean, you're saying, pardon me, but let's be clear about this. You're saying that these categories of crimes, which we're all seeing, you're saying that they could be released if it's their first offense. They could be, in fact, will be released. They will be. And they're saying that that's categorically not true. And it seems insane to think that somebody who is arrested for second-degree murder and charged, you would think there'd be maybe some reasonable expectation that this person is guilty of the crime. He got arrested. He's been charged. I know he deserves a fair trial, but he's automatically going to be released. Even if the judge thinks that he poses a specific, real, and present threat to somebody, the judge can't hold him in jail? Are you saying that?
John, I'm saying that. I have the statute open right in front of me. Again, it's 6.1A1. It's very clear because second-degree murder in Illinois law is a probationable, forcible felony. If convicted, a judge may sentence that individual to probation. It's not automatic jail.
May sentence him. Okay. So,
correct.
Boy, this is hard to believe. I mean, I'm not saying you're a liar or you're misreading the law, but it strains credulity that the legislature would pass a law that is going to make it impossible for a judge to keep those people in jail pending trial.
Unless they're a willful flight risk, and I read that standard, and that's never going to be met. That they raised the bar on flight risk to a point that no prosecutor is going to have that type of evidence. So, I mean, that's where the dialogue, they're talking past each other. You got to set the willful flight aside.
So you think then this flyer that we're all seeing is relatively true?
It's practically, in practicality, it's true. It is not technically true because of the willful flight risk.
It doesn't mention
the availability of willful flight risk.
But all right. So maybe that's the catch basket that they're going to put everybody in: arson, burglary, drug induced homicide, kidnapping. They're going to say, well, I'll bet you're going to run now. So we'll just, I mean, maybe that's the latitude the judges will use, that anybody that's fearing that they're going to go to jail, there is sort of quid pro quo going to be an automatic flight
risk. But John, that is a very heightened standard, and you have to have specific evidence that they are planning or attempting to intentionally evade prosecution by concealment. You're going to have to catch someone with the plane ticket in their pocket, so to speak.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Thank you for your time on that. One last thing, the governor's race, we're spending a lot of time speaking of crime here in Chicago, talking about Darren Bailey's criticism of J.B. Pritzker and Lori Lightfoot's handling of the crime situation in the city and state. Do you have any thoughts about the Pritzker and Bailey campaigns for us?
You know, I think Governor Pritzker has a vast resource advantage in this race, and I think Senator Bailey is doing his best to try to draw attention and keep up in a campaign in which he, you know, quite frankly, he's underfunded.
Would you pull the Scream ad?
I would reach out to the victim of that crime and get her thoughts on it. Because at the end of the day, first and foremost, what's most important is how is she doing? How is her recovery going? And we do have to approach everything from a human standpoint first and foremost.
State Senator John Curran, the Republican from Downers Grove. Nice to talk to you, John. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, John.